Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
If you're one of the hundreds of thousands of PG&E customers who've had their power shut off, then you already know that things can start to feel a little crazy when the lights go out.
People are in the store buying their ice, buying their food, getting gas.
Some people are unable to get phone calls.
We're prepared. We have a generator. We have water. We have everything we need.
Many of us in the Bay Area are dealing with these PG&E power shutoffs for the first time. But in Paradise, Butte County city destroyed by the deadliest fire in California's history, they've had three shutoffs since last year. Some residents are learning to live with PG&E's mess, but they say they shouldn't have to. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to the Bay. Why did you decide to go back to Paradise this week?
The campfire broke out on November 8th of 2018, and so we're like approaching that anniversary date.
Michelle Wiley is a reporter for KQED. She's been reporting on Paradise and the aftermath of the campfire, which happened last November.
I just wanted to come up and see how people were doing and see where things were at now that we're about a year out from this super devastating wildfire.
One sign of how Paradise is still impacted from the campfire are the power shutoffs. Because of what happened in Paradise last year, this feeling of fear and anxiety has rippled across the state. This week, PG&E planned to shut off power to up to 800,000 customers across 34 counties, and many people still don't have power. What was it like in Paradise after the power was shut off?
When I was driving up to Paradise, there was a long line of cars that stretched from like the highway off ramp onto the road you need to take to get onto Paradise. And that was because the lights at the street crossing were out. And all the way up, the lights were out, going up this long road that leads into Paradise on Skyway. Because the city experienced so much devastation, there's been so much migration out of the city. It always looks a little bit vacant, but there didn't seem to be a lot of people around. There were lots of businesses that had their doors closed. Some of the few businesses that had been open, you know, were shuttered up. I drove past a Rite Aid that had all of its like gates locked. You know, there's already not a lot going on up there at this moment, but it really sort of sunk that much more.
What do the PG&E shutoffs in the Bay have to do with Paradise?
You know, I think that when people look at the shutoffs, they should think about the fact that, like, the only reason this is really happening is because of the campfire, because of Paradise. Probably not the only reason, but one of the main reasons. It's part of the deal that was struck with PG&E after the devastation of the campfire that happened last year. So these power shutoffs are directly tied to what happened and the extreme devastation of that fire.
PG&E started shutting off the power last night in more than half of California's 58 counties because of what the company calls an unprecedented wildfire danger.
Roughly 800,000 customers are likely to be affected. Jonathan Vigliotti is in Santa Rosa.
And after that fire, I know there was a lot of pressure on PG&E to come up with some kind of plan. They were forced to come up with some kind of plan. And part of that plan includes shutting off the power under certain circumstances.
Right. And that's under these, like, red flag, high fire warning circumstances that we're experiencing right now.
So because people knew on Tuesday that the power might be shut off either that night or the next morning, what was Paradise like during that time?
You know, it was kind of business as usual. I mean, this is not the first power shutoff that people in this area have experienced. It's the third.
It's becoming norm. Everybody's got generators here now.
And, for some folks, this is like business as usual. They have generators. They know they need to go buy dry ice.
Make sure you got plenty of stuff to eat that you don't have to refrigerate or that you're going to eat, you know, right away.
There wasn't a lot of concern. We didn't, like, there weren't the lineups to get gasoline like you saw in the Bay Area. It was a little calmer from my assessment because, you know, this is sort of, and you'll hear this from the mayor of Paradise, Jody Jones, this is the new normal.
It's really kind of a no-win situation. It's very inconvenient for people. There's the potential loss of food, and there are people who depend on their medical equipment that needs to be plugged in. But on the other side, if it can prevent some other town from burning up like we did, then it's worth it. And I think that we all need to prepare because this is going to keep happening.
Because this is the third time power's been shut off in Paradise since the campfire, are people there more prepared?
So I think in some ways, people in Butte County are kind of old hats at this. You know, this isn't their first shutoff. It's not their second shutoff. It's their third shutoff. So this isn't the first time they've heard that, you know, the rhetoric from PG&E about how they need to take care of their groceries and how they need to make sure their car is filled up with gas and all that. But whether or not they're actually more prepared than anyone else, you know, it really depends on the person. Some people feel really ready and like know where their generator is and they know where they're going to go. And then some people, like Linda Ridgway, who lives in Paradise, says the shutoffs have really disrupted her life.
Sort of stopped my life. I mean, other than today, with the weather is nice, we can get outside and work in the yard. A little hard to cook dinner on the barbecue, but it's just totally inconvenient and it really irritates me.
So what were people saying about PG&E's decision to shut down the power this time?
You know, it ranged. Some people were really, really upset about the decision to shut off power.
I'm not getting used to them. I'm moving.
Really?
I'm getting out of this state. I can't handle this.
Yeah.
This is the, fourth time we ran from a fire? No way.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it anymore.
I spoke to some folks at actually the PG&E Cooling Center in Megalia, and they said they were really, really frustrated. They couldn't understand why they would shut off power. It didn't seem that windy. And they were really angry that they were being inconvenienced by PG&E again.
Why can't they just put up a switch regionally? Why do they have to shut down the world?
On the other hand, I spoke to some people in Paradise who said, you know, they weren't perhaps so upset, but they said they still didn't really get why it was so widespread, why it was going to go on for so many days, and why PG&E hasn't fixed its issues.
I just don't understand how come they didn't solve these lines in the year. Look what they did in town in a year.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean,
you know, how long is it going to take them to actually get the job done as far as making sure everything's clear?
Yeah. Folks are wondering, you know, why has this issue not been resolved yet? You had a year to fix things up here, and you're still telling us you need us to, like, go get ice to deal with our freezers. Like, we're still dealing with these issues.
We're also about a month away from the campfire anniversary, like you mentioned, in November. And I imagine that these power shutoffs are bringing up all kinds of just really strong emotions for people at this time.
It is almost like a double dilemma.
I talked to a fire recovery counselor earlier this week.
My name is Eric Eckhart, and I work as a fire recovery counselor for Butte County Office of Education.
The school system has brought a bunch of retired counselors out of retirement to work on fire recovery because the trauma needs there are so great. They need, like, all hands on deck.
Now we're losing power, so our lives are hugely disrupted, and the source of that disruption was PG&E in the first place. So I think there's a lot of mixed emotions and feelings and anger about that, and it's hard to place that directly and effectively for them to express that sometimes, other than the immediate cause, which sometimes in their mind is PG&E.
Put yourself in their shoes. A year ago, they fled their town with flames licking the side of their cars, and now they're being told, "Hey, you need to, you know, get food stocked up. You need to make sure that you have a generator. All the power is going to go out," and it just puts people back in that really anxious, fearful space that they were in before.
Do residents feel like the communication is any better than it was a year ago? Because I remember that was a huge problem for people.
Yeah, I think it depends on who you talk to. I think there's a lot of misinformation up here. There's a lot of confusion over what exactly is going on, why the power needs to be out for this long, you know, why it has affected such an area, like, in such a widespread manner. I think that there's a lot of confusion and distress. So I guess that is to say, the communication hasn't really gotten better. You know, people, most of the people I talked to heard about the shutoffs from friends. They heard it on like social media, but not a lot of people heard it from PG&E directly.
Well, it's interesting because here in the Bay Area, you're seeing people really frustrated at, you know, living in a part of the city where they feel like the wind isn't that bad and the weather's not that bad. And you're seeing similar complaints as to what some of the people up in Paradise are saying. But at the same time, like, I think we all acknowledge that not shutting off the power is just too risky of a thing.
I think it's that duality you have to hold in your mind, right? It's knowing that people are doing this for safety reasons, but also knowing how frustrating it is for you personally. So some people might live in areas where the wind doesn't seem that bad. You know, it's maybe like 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, but they're connected to the grid, that grid that runs across the entire area. And in other parts of the grid, the wind is blowing really hard. It's 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, so the fire risk is there.
Obviously, the goal is to prevent another situation like what happened in Paradise. Did you get a sense that people are accepting these shutoffs as like a new normal if we want to avoid another Paradise?
I think they are, but there's also kind of a frustration and maybe even a bitterness of people saying, you know, that's great for you, but my town is already burned down. Like, where were you last year? Like, if you could have always done this, why didn't you do it before Paradise burned down? And so they understand that they understand the need to make sure that other people are safe. But I think there's this, you know, this frustration about like, why couldn't you save me? Why couldn't you save us?
We asked you on Twitter how you prepared for power shutoffs, and you responded. Jonathan Klein said, moved my 99-year-old mom out of her assisted living place on Tuesday night after we learned the generator there wouldn't run the elevator, and she lives on the third floor. Moved with her into a hotel. Eating cost and time, but she's safe. Erica C. said, stocked up on snacks and drinks before the rush last night and gathered up all the portable lights, charged every device, and came up with a non-perishable meal plan for lunches. I live blocks outside of the affected area, so fingers crossed. And Jason D. Waters said, freezing big bowls of ice so I can keep stuff cold in my fridge and freezer. Power has been restored to some PG&E customers, but there's still hundreds of thousands without it. To get updates on the outages, you can visit kqed.org. Thanks to Michelle Wiley and Sonia Hudson for reporting this story from Paradise. Thanks also to KQED's forum program, which helped us get the comments from people you heard at the beginning of the episode. The Bay was produced this week by Erica Cruz Guevara, Angela Corral, Amanda Font, and editor Erica Aguilar. KQED's leadership team includes Vinny Tong, Julie Kane, Ethan Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. I'm Devin Kadiyama. That's it for The Bay. Talk to you next week.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.